Hey there, listeners. Welcome to another wonderful episode of the Leadership is Changing podcast. My name is Dennis Giannoutsis, and I'm the host of this podcast. And I had a great interview with a gentleman by the name of Nick Prefontaine. And the episode is called Embrace and Step Through Change. He's the 3-time best-selling author, a motivational speaker, and he's the founder and CEO of an organization called Common Goal. Now, he actually had a life-threatening accident at the age of 14 years of age. And in the interview, he talks us through that. But also he talks about how he actually stepped through the trauma and what he did. Because you see, it's interesting in what we need to do and how we need to face certain situations in life and in business. We also talked about the ability or the thing that we should do, which is to thrive for the rest of our life. An awesome interview. Sit back and enjoy.
Welcome to Leadership is Changing. Each week, we and our guests provide information and insights through exploring leading change. This is taking your leadership to another level by finding the balance between executive excellence and personal well-being through stories that inspire real change. It's time to adapt in our fast-moving world when leadership is changing with your host, Dennis Giannoutsis.
Hey there, listeners. Welcome to another wonderful Leadership is Changing podcast episode. Great to have you here with us. I've got a great guest with me today. His name is Nick Prefontaine. Nick, a massive welcome to you.
Dennis, I'm really looking forward to our time together, and even more so now that I learned a little bit more about you and your background and your story. So I'm excited about this.
Awesome. Well, welcome. Now, Nick, whereabouts in the world are you based today?
I'm in Newport, Rhode Island.
Okay, great. Well, welcome. And as we've talked about, you'll talk to tomorrow here, being me being based in New Zealand as well. Nick, I have given the listeners a little bit of an introduction to you on the sort of pre-recording of this, but I really would like to know more about your background. Tell us more about you.
Sure. So whenever anyone asks me that, okay, what's your origin story or tell us more about you, it always goes back to that fateful day back when I was at ski club. When I was in eighth grade, I was at ski club with my friends, and my friends and I had all brought our snowboard gear onto the bus to get ready, Dennis, so we would have all the time at the mountain that we could possibly spare. So once we got to the mountain, all the rest of the class headed inside. However, we were ready, so we headed right for the chairlift. On the chairlift ride up, we noticed that it was very icy because it had been raining. So people were wiping out everywhere. Needless to say, we weren't beginners. It wasn't our first time on skis and snowboards. So I got to the top, took a breath of that crisp winter air, and confidently charged towards the biggest jump in the terrain park with all my speed. And going out to the jump, I caught the edge of my snowboard, which threw me off balance. And that's the last thing that I remember. So I've pieced together what happened after that from that day based on people that were there and what I've learned happened. So I went off the jump, wasn't wearing a helmet. Later, I learned that the only protection that my head had was a pair of goggles. So the goggles that I wore had a lot of padding. So they braced my fall. They were the only thing between me and the ice that was bracing my fall. So not only the initial impact, but as I continued to roll down the mountain and continued to hit my head, my goggles mysteriously moved to cushion each blow as I continued to roll down the mountain. So there's three things that I really credit for me being here and talking to you today. That was the first thing from that day. Secondly, they wanted to bring a helicopter to the mountain to rush me to the hospital. They couldn't because it was too windy, so they sent in an ambulance. And in the whole county, there was only one paramedic who could intubate right on the spot. And I needed that to be able to breathe because of the severity of my injuries. He was one of the paramedics that showed up to the mountain that day. Once I made it to the hospital, I was resting in a coma. It was a partially induced coma. They said, based on the impact alone, I would have been out 7 to 10 days. However, Dennis, they were concerned that I had swelling in my brain from it was a traumatic brain injury. So I had swelling already. they were afraid that if I woke up in the hospital, I would panic and worry, who are you? What's going on? How did I get here? And the swelling would increase and I would have died. So I was resting in a coma in the ICU, the intensive care unit, and the doctors came into my room where my parents were. And they wanted to share the news, the prognosis. And as you can imagine, at the beginning, it was worse and worse and worse. And they went to share. My mom stopped them. She said, no, not in front of him. Because she understood that even though I was in a coma, I was out, that I was still taking information. So she made the doctors step outside and share with my parents that, look, he's in a coma. We don't know how long he's going to be in the coma. And when he comes out, he's probably not going to be able to walk, talk, or eat on his own again. None of that information made it to influence me, whether I was in a coma or not. They were outside the room, remember, when they shared that with my parents. So I had no idea. So those are three things I credit for me being where I am today. And that allowed me to, a month later, because they say I was up for 3 weeks, but I really don't remember a month because it was a partially induced coma, that allowed me to treat it like any other situation, to get up, do the best that I could, and keep getting better every day. And very early on in my recovery, I can remember being in a wheelchair and overhearing my parents talk to the doctors about, all right, what do we need to do to make sure Nick makes a full recovery? And what parents wouldn't want that for their child that had suffered a traumatic brain injury and got into an accident? Of course. However, I heard in my head, in the back of my head, no, you're going to run out. And this was still before I could talk. However, I was able to share with my parents and the rest of my team, doctors and therapists and nurses, that I wanted to run out of the hospital. So then running out of the hospital became our common goal and where I got my whole company name from, Common Goal. The interesting thing is unknowingly, I utilized a system to not only make a full recovery, but run out of the hospital less than 60 days after coming out of my coma. And that's what I teach to this day. And I can go over just a 10,000 foot view for time, and then I can give the listeners like an idea, or they can download STEP, the ebook, for free. STEP is an acronym. It stands for support. You have to make sure that you have the support of your family and friends right from the beginning. This is going to have you falling back on relationships that you built prior to your setback. T is trust. You have to trust that once you take your first step, your next step is always going to be available to you. Follow it. And this also comes back to trust that voice inside of you, whether you call it God, the universe, conscious, subconscious, whatever you call it. Different people like to, depending on different levels of faith, like to coin it a different thing. But I've always been really good at following that voice in the back of my head. So I overheard my parents and I know I'm going to run out. Then it was later in my life, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm being successful in is, so for me, it was real estate. So real estate, sales, anything like that. I've always had the voice in the back of my head since my accident say, yeah, that's great. But what you really should be doing is helping others that are going through trauma get through to the other side and thrive with the rest of their lives, and speaking and telling my story. And that's what led me to what I'm doing today. So E is energy. You have to make sure that you're maintaining your energy, because without your energy, you're not able to influence and support anyone else in their journey. And you're basically useless without your energy. P is persistence. Persistence, once you've taken your first step, keep getting up every day and taking your next step, no matter how small. And the STEP system is what I unknowingly used to run out of the hospital. after running out of the hospital, it really wasn't like my work was done. I had to continue to go to outpatient therapy for another 6 months, along with being tutored all summer long, 5 days a week. I know it sounds like a lot of fun. You can probably imagine in eighth grade having to do that. And I was able to go on and continue on to high school with the rest of my classmates. And with that, I'll take a break and see if you have any questions, and then we can continue.
So you're a speaker today. You're an author, and you're also as a top motivational speaker in 2022. And, you know, you've got the organization called Common Goal, which is great. And the story you share with us, it's amazing how what you went through, but also how you came back and what you went through. But I love this, the step method or the model you've got there, because, you know, even from a leader's perspective as well, we need to support our people. We need to have the trust there. We need to bring along energy. No one wants to work for a leader that's got no energy, that's a knuckle dragger, as I call them, whereby they're just really down in the dumps all the time. And that persistence, the word I use is consistent as well, right? So persistently being consistent or consistently being persistent, right? That is great. And the other way that they can be, yeah, absolutely. So I really like what you've got there. Tell us as well a little bit about the fact that I think what you do and what you bring to people around trauma and helping them move forward and the speaking is around leadership as well. You're leading them too as well. But have you had any other leadership experiences as well that you might want to share?
Yeah. So, I mean, the number one thing with leadership is you're not able to lead. You're not, this is my take on it, Dennis. You're not able to lead others. And for me, it's through helping and leading others through their trauma so that they can thrive with the rest of their lives. And it's also with helping. I work in another capacity, another business that I'm involved in. I'm a coach and a trainer with investing, with real estate investing. So the same thing. I have to take our associates by the hand and help them do the same internal process that we like to bring our buyers through to make sure that they're successful. I'm not able to do any of that if I'm not first leading myself. So that's why I think it's important to start your day off right and be able to lead yourself. And for me, that's with meditation and Qigong. I don't do yoga, but like meditation and Qigong, Qigong is what I do. So I do that anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes per day. That's how I start every day after I let my dog out. Then I'm reading and writing and reflecting in my journal for another 30 to 60 minutes after I have breakfast and before I even start my day, before I even come into the office and tackle any problems or help anyone. At that point, I'm making sure I'm starting my day off right. And that's how I'm leading myself. And it's also how I'm taking care of my energy so I'm able to be persistent. So this STEP acronym, support, trust, energy, and persistence, can be applied to virtually anything. And I think you touched on it as well that you were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like what you said as well about the start in the day. Okay, you're having some breakfast, but it's the journaling, which is really important. And it's not just a 2 minute, 5 minute journal. It's half an hour to an hour that you're taking time out to think, journal, write things down, maybe reflect on things, be grateful for things. But then you can start your day on a better footing than if you would start it off with emails or anything else, right? So it's way better starting off with what you're talking about.
Or social media.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I think a lot of people do start off their days with social media. And it's like, okay, well, good. Now, Nick, the other thing too is I'm sharing with you before as well about my journey with The Voice and then, you know, and going through that trauma as well. What I have found is that, and I must look at it again, that there was no support group for people with voice dysphonia. And I think we need to do something here in New Zealand around that. The voice thing is really interesting, the journey. Any other journeys that you might want to talk about in relation to that as well?
So, yeah, I was so excited. I wasn't planning on sharing this on this interview. However, you prompted me before and let me know, like, just you've had your own voice challenges as well. So, as I mentioned, I'm a real estate investor. We have a coaching and mentoring and training company helping other investors to do the same thing that we do. So after high school, I got my real estate license. I was a realtor full time for 6 years. And then I transitioned into helping my dad as an investor and then working with the buyers. And then out of that process, I developed a system and a process that we have to put these buyers through to make sure that they're successful. When I was a realtor, I developed a voice issue. So not only did I have to learn how to talk to them once, in 2012, I developed a voice issue. I went to all these specialists, I went to an allergist, I went to see like countless doctors, and we couldn't figure out what was going on. Then a year later, I ended up in a voice specialist office in Boston, and there are only 35 of these specialists in the United States. And I was so worked up and like, I didn't know what was going on because no one knew what was wrong with my voice. This doctor walked into the office, heard me speak, and right away goes, "Oh, that? Yeah, we can fix that right away. We deal with that all the time. Go to the front desk and schedule yourself for a Botox injection in a couple weeks." So I started getting Botox injections into my throat in August of 2013. And I had to, you wouldn't know by talking to me, and same thing for you, Dennis. I would have no idea. And that's the highest compliment that someone can pay me to say, "Oh, I would have never known that you had any kind of a voice challenge," which is amazing to me. I'm sure you love hearing that as well. So I started getting Botox injections. They were once every few months. And in between those, I would get, as my voice came back, I would get their voice specialist, their speech therapy, like a little bit more advanced than regular speech therapy. However, I would get that from their voice therapist, voice specialist. And then in conjunction with the Botox, I was able to retrain myself to speak for the second time. So the last Botox injection that I had was February 13th of 2020. So right before the world shut down. So I no longer, that's worked its way out of my system. I no longer need that anymore. It's not talked about, Dennis. Like anyone having voice issues, that's why whenever I meet someone, like I feel like it's a kindred spirit that you've had to overcome a voice challenge as well. And that's what I like to call it, because I went to and I explored a lot of the support groups, especially on social media. And I found that it was good in the beginning to be like, "Oh, okay, there are people out there like me. I'm not going crazy." However, there reached a certain point when I just had to leave that. I had to leave that behind, and I had to focus on getting better, and I had to focus on healing myself. And that's really when I realized that the STEP system is an effective thing, because not only did I do it to recover from my snowboarding accident, I used the very same system to learn how to speak again and get my voice back. And I think I'm more proud of that, overcoming the voice challenge, than I am from my accident. Because when I got in the accident, I was only 14. So yeah, it was just something I did. Yeah, anyone else would do it. That's what I have always said. However, the more and more of these shows that I'm on, I'm learning that, no, Nick, that's not just what everyone else would do, because there's the option to just give up. And that never occurred to me. That never entered my mind. So I just kept getting up and working, getting a little bit better every day. And with what you mentioned, so there was like those support groups that you were saying. I found that it wasn't getting me any better to be talking about everything that was wrong and classifying that I had a certain thing like a dysphonia. And for a time it was spasmodic dysphonia that I was suffering from that. Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't helping me get better to think that, to classify myself as that. And that's why I've gone to just saying I've had to overcome a voice challenge, because I feel like saying spasmodic dysphonia is, "Oh, I have spasmodic dysphonia and I can't get better." Because that's with any kind of illness out there. If you read the documentation, it's, "Oh, well, there's no cure for this. There's no cure for that. This is the best that you can expect it to be." And I just didn't want to accept that. So that's when I kind of put the support group aside and I just focused on getting a little bit better every day, taking care of myself, doing my voice exercises. That's all I could focus on.
You're right. I mean, same for me. You know, I went through days whereby I was just like, what's wrong with me? And then people coming up to me every day, two or three times a day going, are you sick? Or what's going on with your voice? And then in cafes, people stopping to turn to see what the voice was. And emotionally, that was really hard. And I found that I was trying to get my voice out and it was frustrating to get it out. And yeah, so I think it's a real privilege that I have of but not being cancer and being here to talk about it and also help others as well going forward, which is going to be really important. And if I think about your STEP model, I mean, the support, I was actually really quite surprised of the support we did get and the support we didn't get, which was quite interesting. The other one was around the trust. It was about trusting the team around me to help me to get rid of it and that. And then I got introduced to the top guy for the region, if I can put it that way, for around Asia Pacific. Around this, and he's very helpful and did it. And then his energy but brought back my energy to get it fixed and move forward, which is really great. But it was that persistence.
I just want to say this so I don't forget it. We haven't, just so the audience knows, we haven't talked about this. We haven't scripted this ahead of time. You said something that, so there's no one else that can relate to this unless you have what I had, which is it was almost difficult. At the worst point, it was almost hard to get the words out.
Yeah.
And it didn't hurt. It sounded painful, but it was hard to get the words out. And for you to say that really resonated with me. So I just wanted to say that I can really relate to that and appreciate what you've been through as well.
Yeah, and you're right, Nick. It didn't hurt me, but it was frustrating to get it out. It was hard to get it out, but then it was hard for people to listen to it as well. And so there was that side too. And then the persistence was, you know, if I want to be in front of stage, think about it, I went for an MRI scan. I actually had a panic attack in the MRI machine, didn't go back for a long time, had to go through counseling, got back into it, had it done. But when I was in there with my eyes closed, the thing that I thought about was being introduced on stage as a speaker in front of thousands, 10,000 people in the audience. And for that to happen, I have to get this sorted. But I'm also really, really, I know that I've gone through this to help other leaders find their voice and move forward and so forth. And it's been really interesting. So the journey has been not nice to go through, but it's been amazing to go through as well at the same time. And just grateful to be here and to be able to do what I do as well. Yeah. So it's,
I'm sure you wouldn't, same thing as me, I wouldn't change it for the world. And it's so interesting that you said that. Everything that you're saying, I can relate to, first off. When my voice was at its worst, like one of its lowest points, before I started getting the Botox, I started really believing that I had to be on stage. I have to be on stage telling my story. And that didn't even have to do with my voice issue. This is from my accident. I really have to be sharing my story on stage. And sharing my message with other people that are going through trauma, get through to the other side and thrive with the rest of their lives. And I shared that with my parents when I had that thought. And they're like, all right, let's just get your voice back first. And then you can do that. They never dissuaded me or like put me down from it. But they're like, all right, like, let's just take one step at a time here.
Yeah. Look, Nick, the show here is called Leadership is Changing. When I say that title or that statement, what does it mean for you?
I think in the past, just because of the thought that it brings to mind, like leadership, and a lot of people, not necessarily me, but a lot of people will think back to the 70s or 80s when people were around big conference rooms and big corporate offices and banging their fists on the desk and saying, this is what we have to do. I think I've already touched on it. Leadership starts with leading yourself. And once you're able to lead yourself, you're able to naturally, you will draw people to you. And they're going to be drawn to you because you're leading yourself. And then you can take them to heights that are unimaginable because of that.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Yeah. Look, it's been really interesting having this discussion, because the other thing too is I think that for a lot of people, you know, they don't have a tumor, they don't have things. But you know what? I've had people come to me because I'm thinking about the trauma thing that you've talked about and the step method. For one guy that I know, he said to me, I don't know if I could be a speaker on stage. I'm like, why is that? And he goes, well, I wasn't born with a third arm. I don't have a disability. I don't have anything that I went through in life that's going to be that kind of thing. So I don't actually have a story. And I went, well, I think you do, because you've got a lot of life experience, leadership experience, things you can bring to the table that's going to be really good. It's just how you formulate it in a story that people are going to relate to it. Without a lie, I think it was 9 days later, the guy was in a gym doing exercise and he collapsed and he woke up in the hospital because he had a brain aneurysm. And I think it was a brain aneurysm, but in other words, he has had like a stroke and he ended up in hospital. People around him were dying and he survived. And the percentage of people to survive what he went through is very, very small. And I said to him, be careful what you ask for, because what you just asked for was for a story. Hey, you got a story and you need to share the story now too. And that was a few years ago, and I was with him the other day and we were just talking about it. But he was talking about the support around his trust in the doctors and the team around him, the energy that they all had, but also people around him visiting to help him lift, and the persistence that he's going through. And it's just amazing how that your system that you've just shared, the formula, along with knowing that things do change in life and we have to embrace that change and move forward, even though when we're going through it, it's not easy, right? And so it's how do we cope with that and how do we move forward? So it's just amazing that you're sharing this with us today.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, this part of these details and things that I'm sharing with you, like I said, that is that this hasn't come out. A lot of this stuff hasn't come out. So I feel really privileged to have this conversation with you. And it sounds like your friend's a master manifester. Yeah, you should go and spend more time with them.
Yeah, it's a good way of saying it. I mean, and then there was also the funny times as well that we had with the journey that I had. And I don't know about you. It might not sound funny to some of the listeners right now, what we're talking about. But, you know, I'll give you an example. One lady coming up, well, not with lady, just people coming up to me in events when I'm speaking or doing things going, is that your normal voice? I go, yep. Well, are you sick? No. Well, that's damn sexy. And I'm like, whoa, stop there. So it was really funny hearing that. But one very funny part was my surgeon, my specialist, when he says to me, I'm going to go through, because I said, well, what are you going to go through, down the throat, through the mouth? Or how are you going to get to the tumor? He says, oh, we're going to go through the front here. Let me have a look, Dennis. Oh, yep. We're going to go in that fold there. I said, fold? What do you mean by fold? Well, Dennis, you're getting older, you're getting an age and that, and there's some creases there. What? He goes, yeah, we're going there. And I tell you, even now, right, even after these years, you can't really see until I pointed out, you cannot tell that I've actually had surgery. So it's just his skill, his art, and what he does and how he did it. Just brilliant.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, like I said, I'm so much of what you said today, I really relate to, and I hope to just be doing more with you in whatever capacity we can. I think there's definitely more potential, and we should stay in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. So leaders, I think one thing that Nick is sharing with us today is the fact that we need to look after ourselves. Nick, I think that's where we've been talking about, that leaders do really need, especially as the world's getting faster, right? There's so much happening and leadership's getting faster, business is getting faster. But leaders do really need to look after themselves. Start the day well, as you said. Would there be anything else you think that they might need to do to look after themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you asked me that. So I am part of the way that I take care of my energy is I get monthly craniosacral massage. I term it a treatment because I really feel like it's taking care of my energy. I don't just think, oh, I'm going to get a massage. It's, to me, it's an energy treatment that I get once every 4 or 5 weeks. In addition to that, I get once every 5 weeks, I get Tui Na massage, which is basically Chinese massage. And then that, after I get that done, it's followed by cupping, and I get that done by a Qigong and a Tai Chi master. He was the one that actually taught me to meditate and do Qigong, Darchen Ming Wu. So those are some of the ways that I take care of my energy, so I'm able to operate at the highest vibration, the highest level possible, so that I can affect and lead others through their trauma, or if it comes with our other business, help them with their investment business as well. So yeah there's definitely, I think that leaders should take anyone, not just leaders, but anyone needs to take care of their energy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right. I mean, the massages you're talking about, I think the first one is really around the head and the way, and the neck and the shoulders. Is that right? That first massage you're talking about?
They go through the whole body when they do that. But yeah, a big part of it, they start at the feet. And then a big part of it is the shoulders and the neck and the head, the whole picture. So that's a big focus of it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I was going through what I went to, and I had to go to a voice specialist, as you say, it was a speech coach to learn to speak again and get my words out. But the other one was a voice physio. So he actually worked on the voice box. And so he worked with actors and that around the world in major theaters and things like that. And it was just massaging that. But it was just the whole area is amazing. The amount of stress and tension that I was carrying in my shoulders and my neck was amazing. Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't get my voice out, I was speaking in fight-flight mode. And I think a lot of leaders today are in that fight-flight mode. And so their breathing is quite shallow. That's why their energy is low. That's why they're quite anxious and they're not calm. And by doing the things that Nick has just talked about, listeners, is that you're going to be able to calm things down a bit and bring back that energy in a good way that's going to help you to move forward.
Oh, for sure. For sure. What we covered today, Dennis, is for your listeners, and I almost got just lost in our conversation. They just get to listen in on our great conversation that we're having, because I'm really enjoying that. What it is what we've been over is just like a 10,000 foot view of the STEP system. And if you'd like, I'd like to give them a way they can download the whole STEP system for free.
Nice. Okay.
Awesome.
I'll give that off, Nick, listeners. And what I'll do, Nick, is we'll put that in the show notes. Hey?
That's great.
Yep. And we can do that. Or unless, is there somewhere else you want to just say now where they can go to, a website?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, so we've only been able to cover like a fraction of it, 10,000 foot view. And if they go to nickprefontaine.com/step, they're able to download the whole STEP system for free and learn all about support, trust, energy and persistence, and that will help them take their first step today.
Excellent. Well, Nick, it's been a real pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for joining me on today's show.
It was a blast, Dennis. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So there you go, listeners. Hey, if you wanted to know more about going from trauma to helping you thrive and moving forward in your life, or if you are wanting to know more about the STEP method, that STEP, support, trust, energy, persistence that Nick's just been talking about, hey, check out our show notes and download that kind of material. Hey, it's always a pleasure being with you. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, bye for now.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Leadership is Changing with your host, Dennis Giannoutsos. Each week, we and our guests provide information and insights through exploring leading change, inspiring executives and leaders to adapt and lead a bigger game in a fast-moving world.